It came from outer space to fill the world with terror, to bring you unforgettable suspense.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it.
Shock Tales with Johnny Thunder.
Jeff back from participating in the XXXXL games. It's your triathlete. He'll try any food that you put on the table. Johnny Thunder.
What's going on, genius? How are you?
Just playing with my puppets, you know.
Nice. Yeah.
And I just did my 5 seconds of show prep. So we can bullshit our way through another Shock Tale.
Honest to God, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm just digging the summer, dude. I mean, it's nice and hot, and you got to cut the grass. You're headed to the shore. And I recently learned you're supposed to stay hydrated while you're cutting the grass and in the heat. Beer and rum do the job. So a tip for all you kids out there, beer and rum, stay hydrated, okay? Now you know, and knowing's half the battle. All right, everybody, Johnny Thunder here. We're back here at the last bar on the left, and I'm serving up Shock Tales. As always, Cruella has a special on draft, and shockingly, I'm drinking Trogues Perpetual IPA once again this month. Sparkles, what are you drinking?
Oh, so you're saying that Shock Tales is brought to you by Trogues Perpetual IPA. Is that what you're trying to say?
Pretty much, man. Okay. Well, what about you? What are you drinking or smoking?
Shock Tales is brought to you by Thunderbird. 17.5% alcohol by volume. If you like the smell of your hand after filling your gas tank, you will love Thunderbird. The bird flies higher as you get lower. Thunderbird! Also brought to you by Purple Kush. What I have left of it. So, JT, what is Shock Tales, by the way?
Shock Tales, where we get together once a month, get completely obliterated, and babble on and on about some stuff that's going on in the world of horror. And, hey, like we said, it's July, so you know what that means. Blobfest in 2013 is no exception. Blobfest 2013 will be held at the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, on July 12th, 13th, and 14th. I plug this every year, and it's always such a badass time. You know, you got the running out, you got the street fair, the hot rods, the rockabilly, the vendors, the food. It's always a great time. And this year, in addition to screenings of The Blob, they're doing some giant bug movies from the 50s. So they're also going to be showing Them, Tarantula, and the Deadly Mantis. So if you're anywhere in the area, if you're in my area, well, if you're in my area, you probably need to go get an STD test. But if you're anywhere around the area, check it out. It's such a badass time. And we're also talking about Haunt Time. Rob Zombie just announced his Great American Nightmare. That's going to be a 15-day event coming October 10th to November 2nd at the LA County Fairplex. Dude, I don't know. Did you see this? This looks like a badass time.
How do you manage something for 15 days?
Well, it's gonna be three haunted houses based on zombies flicks, and there's gonna be concerts and events, food, music, screenings of classic horror movies. There's gonna be pro wrestling and stuff. So it just looks like it's gonna be a great time. Now let's move on to some flicks that'll be haunting the silver screen this July. Coming up on July 12th, a lot of people are looking forward to this. It's Del Toro's Pacific Rim.
We always thought alien life would come from the stars. Came from deep beneath the Pacific.
What the hell is going on?
The first kaiju made land in San Francisco. The second attack hit Manila. Then the third one hit Cabo. Then we learned this was not gonna stop. In order to fight monsters, we created monsters of our own. We needed a new weapon. The Jaeger program was born. Two pilots, our minds, our memories, connected. And man and machine become one.
That's his giant Alien monster versus robot flick. This is a huge sci-fi summer fun flick. His movies are always fun, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to this. So if you want to check that out, you know, you got a rainy day down the shore or something, definitely look for Pacific Rim. Now, the following weekend, there's two flicks, July 19th. The first is RIPD. Now, that's based on Dark Horse Comics series of the same name.
Tough day.
Where am I?
You're dead.
This is a joke.
Hilarious.
You have skills that we want.
We'd like you to join the RIPD.
The RIPD.
Rest in peace department.
I think you're smelling what I'm selling.
Your job is catching deados, the bad souls that escape judgment.
It's about a murdered cop who comes back from the grave to avenge his death. It's an all-star cast. They got Ryan Reynolds, Kevin Bacon, Jeff Bridges, and it looks like, again, a big, it's more of a sci-fi comic booky kind of flick, but looks like a lot of fun. The same weekend is a 70s paranormal period piece. Say that three times fast. Called The Conjuring.
Who's ever down there? I'm gonna lock you in now. Help! Ah! Help! Andrea! Help!
Ah! It's about a married couple of paranormal investigators who go to work on a possessed house. The one cat played Night Owl in The Watchmen. Looks like it's an interesting thing. Again, it looks sort of, I don't know, a little regurgitation-ish of Amityville. But if you like the ghost possession kind of stuff, you might want to check that out. And finally, July 26th is Frankenstein's Army.
It was my intention to change the future. Not the past.
All from?
We're from the future. And it's time to kick some Frankenstein ass.
This is a rated R film. It's a World War II Nazi horror Frankenstein monster mashup. So
awesome.
I love stuff that crosses genres like this, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. I don't know whether it's a limited release. I'm hoping it's on video on demand at the very least. All right, let's move on to the highlight of every one of these shows. It's the reviews. First up, I want to... Oh, damn, I forgot my slide whistle. Ah, damn it. Next month, I'm going to get my slide whistle. Dude, I love the slide whistle. All right, first up, The Purge.
Tonight allows people a release for all the hatred and violence that they keep up inside them.
Why don't you guys kill someone tonight?
Because we don't feel the need to, Johnny.
Just remember all the good The Purge does.
We'll be fine just like always, no worries, okay?
Announcing the commencement of the annual Purge. At the siren, all emergency services will be suspended for 12 hours. Your government thanks you for your participation.
Help me! Someone, please, help me! I just need to get someone safe. Does anybody hear me?
Let's go! This way!
Tony!
No! This way, hurry!
Why did you let him in our home? We have no idea who's after him.
Our target for this year's Purge is hiding in your home. You have 1 hour to find him and give him to us, or we'll kill all of you.
If you recall, that was the sci-fi home invasion flick that opened a few weeks ago. We had talked it up last time. Dude, it opened in first place and made $36.4 million. Its second week, it took a huge drop. It fell down to eighth place and made only another $8 million with a 76% fallout. But to date, it's made $62 million with a budget somewhere, I think, between $2 and $3 million.
Wow.
Now, yeah, financially, this thing is one of the year's biggest success stories. I mean, it really is, but it's just like everything else they do. Paranormal Activity, Insidious, Sinister, they do these low-budget flicks, you know, $2 to $3 million, and they make their money back, you know, a thousandfold, right? Now, that being said, critically, I was really disappointed by The Purge. If you remember last time, I talked this thing up because I thought it looked, it had a great premise, you know, this high premise about the future and the new founding fathers and the whole night where there's a night that there's no ramifications to violence, you can do whatever you want. It looked like it was going to be a home invasion flick with the creepy masks and the intruders and so forth. But, you know, you had that, you had some really interesting elements. You had the likable actor in Ethan Hawke. But to me, dude, the whole thing just never gelled and just never came together. You got characters just making dumb decision after dumb decision. They're doing dumb, really dumb things. The one thing that really irritated me about this movie was it really didn't even play out like a home invasion movie. I mean, it was sort of home invasion for maybe a half hour or 45 minutes. And then there's this whole final arc that doesn't have anything to do with the cats and the masks and the guns and the knives and the baseball bats and everything else. And the one other thing that really irritated me was every time, except for once, every time one of the main characters or one of the good guys was going to die, somebody saved them from off screen. So, you know, you have like the wife's pinned to the floor. And one of the killers is about to blow her brains out. And then somebody shoots him from behind. Or Ethan Hawke's about to, you know, get an axe in his face. And the wife shoots the guy. That happened like four or five times. The son was a retard. Yeah, I know. That's probably not politically correct.
Retarded. Wicked retarded.
There's a daughter with a boyfriend storyline that I knew nothing about, which was completely friggin' irritating. And they even worked in the biggest thing that pissed me off. These cats even managed to work in their patented found footage, okay? The teenage son, who's the asshole that lets the cat in the house to begin with, lets the homeless guy being pursued by the mob in the house to begin with, he creates this ugly effing robot doll tank thing to drive around the house, and it takes film. It's a surveillance camera. But that's the conceit of the directors, just to get some found footage in the movie. That irritated me. The dumbness of the characters irritated me. I didn't think it was suspenseful. I didn't really think there was anything going on. The only thing I can say that I dug, there's an action sequence towards the end, the middle end of the movie, where Ethan Hawke fights a bunch of the intruders in the game room. So he like fights, I think, like two or three guys or whatever. That was interesting. The only other thing I would say positively, image-wise, maybe you wanted to do something for your haunt or your haunted house or your yard. The masks, the dresses, the dress of the men in the film, those were kind of creepy. There was one girl, all white dress, covered in blood with a weird mask, and she had two machetes skipping down a hallway. Great image, but an image does not a film make. So for me, it's definitely not something that I would recommend. I think they do a great job marketing. It's obviously they're masterful at marketing these kind of films, but as a horror film, I just didn't think it worked.
Okay.
What about you? Did you catch it?
Yeah, I did.
And you liked it, didn't you?
It wasn't exactly Dark Shadows by any means.
Really, you like this?
Look, I would have fucking kneecapped those son of a bitch neighbors at the end. I mean, seriously, somebody just tried to kill you and your kids. Forget about you, your kids. And you wouldn't at least fucking put one in their kneecap. You know, you would just sit at the table and go, we're just going to wait this thing out because we're going to be fair. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I'm not as passionate about disliking it as you are.
Yeah, I would say I was a lot more angry about it just because I thought it had such a high concept and I thought it had such potential. It is, to me, what it could have been was more of the sci-fi, political, socioeconomic commentary on, you know, society with this little sort of home invasion thrown in. I would have loved to have learned more about the economic collapse of America and the new founding fathers. And I picked up a little bit of a vibe of a totalitarian sort of vibe where everyone was a little bit afraid, at least in that development, of not putting out the blue flowers and not representing that they support the purge. And you almost got the sense that the privileged and the rich were afraid to disagree with the new government. But a sequel that I totally dug, and I cannot sing the praises highly enough, VHS 2.
So what's the deal now?
Just this woman thinks her son is missing.
Doesn't look like anyone's home. Here, look at this.
These tapes only affect you if you play it at a correct sequence.
Which, of course, is the one I didn't see.
Dude, please check it out. And anybody out there, as I said, I loved VHS because I love anthology films. And I love the fact that each one of the segments are done by, you know, up-and-coming Hollywood directors. And I don't want to call them indie directors, but they are very much of an indie ilk, okay? And VHS 2 was, I think, so far my favorite. And again, these are just the ramblings of one drunken horror fanatic.
Was VHS 2 better than VHS 1?
Yes.
Or, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, really?
The segments.
I loved the VHS 1.
Dude, they kick it up a notch. This one, again, you have the wraparound scene by Simon Barrett, which is private detectives are hired to find a missing student. So, of course, they track him down to this abandoned house in, like, West L.A. or something. And, of course, again, they find the bank of video screens, all these videotapes. And they're basically told by the missing student who they watch in a film which VHS tapes to pop in. And this time around, you have the first one's Ghosts by Adam Wingard, which, again, he's one of my favorite directors right now. He did the Cue for Quack and ABCs of Death, and he's amazing, and he also stars in this segment. So you have, like, the first one is Ghosts. The second one is Zombies. And when I say zombies, I'm burned out on zombies. I've said this years ago, where I think there's not a lot to be said about the zombies genre much anymore. This movie comes up with an idea to give you a found footage zombie movie where the character becomes a zombie and you get to see his attacks, his zombie narrative from his perspective. It's the craziest thing I've seen in a while. 15 minutes, wonderfully constructed, wonderfully done, gory as hell, and completely over the top. The third segment, and anybody out there that's already researched VHS 2 or heard about it, it is a half hour, and they devote a half hour to this segment. It is one of the best horror shorts I've ever seen. It's about a doomsday religious cult in some unnamed Asian country. It's dark, it's bloody, it's horrific, it's frightening. There are twists you will never see coming. It keeps you on, like you had said, on the edge of your seat. It gives you a stomach ache the entire time. You don't know where it's going. I was blown away by the segment. It's amazing. It's really, the third segment is literally worth the price of admission. Now, that's not denigrating any other segment, but this third segment is, the half hour could be released as its own product, and I would purchase it. It's amazing. Okay.
I'm watching it tonight. You've got
No, you sold me.
No, I'm sold.
Dude, I'll
sign on the dotted line. Just give me the piece of paper.
I don't want to give too much information, but like I say, doomsday Asian cult, and you get a sense of dread because you don't know what's going on. You have a few different ideas, and it's unlike anything I've ever seen, and it hits all cylinders, and it's balls to the wall, and it's exactly what fucking horror should be, okay? And then the last segment within the films is an alien invasion. And when I say this movie, this little 15 minutes, scared me, I've never said that in a while. Have I ever really said that something scared me? I watched this a couple weeks ago, and I watched that segment three times because I said to my wife, I go, holy shit, this is friggin' scary. So I cannot recommend, please, everybody out there, like I said, I know some people disagree with me, but VHS 2, seek it out, because I think this is one of the best things I've seen in a while, and definitely the best movie I've seen this year. So I can't say enough about it. I really, really, really dug it. Let's move on to, I think you caught this flick, I caught this flick. It's, of course, Brad Pitt's World War Z.
Terry,
what is this?
It's the scene worldwide. Is anyone doing better than we are?
We don't know.
I need you to help him.
You're asking me to leave my family.
I'm not gonna force you.
Don't pretend you're not well suited for the job.
Baby?
Tell the kids I'm coming back.
I'm coming back.
Remember we we talked about last time, you know, all the problems with production, the fact that they had to reshoot basically the entire third act of the movie. They went completely double over budget. Well, you know what? Didn't really affect their box office, dude. It opened in second place, making over $66 million. Based on that, they've already greenlit a sequel, and Brad Pitt's talking possible trilogy.
So, what do you think?
I'm a big fan of Max Brooks' book. I really don't know what this movie has to do with the book. I will say, look, shockingly, I didn't like the movie. Look, it's a big blockbuster, sanitized, PG-13, family-friendly, international-friendly.
Yeah, it's more of an action movie.
Well, I was going to say, it's a big summer action thriller suspense film. Now, if that's what they wanted to create, that's fine. It's not a horror film. And as I said, you know, separate the book, the fact that it has really nothing to do with the book. I would say what it has in common with the novel.
It has zombies?
Well, this movie doesn't even have zombies, Chris, so let's put that aside. The point I want to make is that the movie tries to capture the global scope of the book. Okay, and if you've read the book, you get a sense of it's an oral history of the zombie war as it affected the planet. So you have stories of China, of Jerusalem, of Moscow, of all over the world. What bothered me was the fact that it was literally set piece, jump to set piece, jump to set piece. We're 15 minutes in Philly. Now we're 15 minutes in Jersey. Now we're 15 minutes in a helicopter. Now we're 15 minutes in North Korea. Now we're 20 minutes in Jerusalem. Now we're 20 minutes in an airplane. Now and it was literally like they were just jumping from set piece to set piece with real no sense of narrative and no sense of what was going on. And it's like, hey, I'm going to fly to North Korea. Oh, some freak says go to Jerusalem. Hey, we're going to Jerusalem. You know, the story just didn't make a lot of sense. And like I said, this could have been Brad Pitt searching the world for the Lost Ark or gold or some other treasure. You know, he didn't even need to be trying to find this cure for the zombie plague. I wasn't angry. I was entertained. I think it's certainly a great thriller action movie. I think Brad Pitt's likable. You know, does he really act a lot? Nah, I don't know. He's sort of Brad Pitt. You know, he's fine. You know, it's fine. I think the Israeli soldier is an interesting character. I think she does a great job. The fact, though, that Brad Pitt just sort of figures out and, you know, saves the world with his revelation based on that contrived and poorly executed and just, you know, just cliched conversation for 5 minutes on the plane with the scientist. You know, that's a stretch. And, you know, the fact that he pieces together how to save the world, I was like, really, Brad Pitt, really? One interesting thing to note, you'll see that Matthew Fox from Party of Five and Lost is one of the paratroopers. And you're like, well, wait a minute, this guy's kind of a major star. And he has like maybe two lines the whole movie, and he's got top billing. Well, he was one of the stars of the final arc that they completely reshot. If you look it up online, there's a really dark, different ending. Would I have liked that better? Maybe. Do I think it would have saved the movie? No. And again, these are just my ramblings because, look, again, it's made tons of money. They're greenlighting a sequel. I didn't like the ending. Again, that's a big Hollywood, cheesy, sort of obvious ending. How many times you can have the big pep talk from the hero? How many times he can be reunited with his family? Again, overall, I didn't hate it, but it's nowhere. Again, it's nowhere near the disaster that it could have been or that we thought it was going to be. But I personally just didn't dig it. So it is what it is. All right, boils and ghouls, thank you for listening. As always, this is Johnny Thunder with
Baker,
binding you to stay scared.
I'm going now.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your Haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.